Dean, come on up here and share what, let them share what God's laid on you.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Where's Lynn and Roberta? Oh, okay, I got to make sure. I was looking for you guys. I always said that the team was like herding cats. When I let them out of my sight, they took off. And then bring them back was really something. Well, I'm Dean Braxton. Some of you don't know me. I am very much a member of this church. I'm out on the road 95% of the time, ministering all over the country and around the world. And I get the privilege of being a part of this church, and one of the things that we get to do is to go overseas. People are requesting us to go all over the world. And God has really made it part of our mission to be a part of this body is to take people from this body and take them other places throughout the world. And I always tell people that the Lord is the one that picks them, and he knows who he's picking, why he's picking them. And even this trip here was probably proving that even more than ever before, in the sense of going back to New Zealand and also ending up in Australia for a little while. There was 13 people that went with me. There was the first half of the trip, which was from the 1st through the 13th, was couples. And that was really a blessing to take wives this time. I was told by Norma that Dean don't take women with him. And I told him, yeah, Dean doesn't, but Jesus does. So... And since he is the one that tells me what to do, I do exactly what he says, you know. And it was a blessing taking the women on this trip due to the fact that we got to minister to a lot of families. There is a lot of families that were restored. Even the families that went were even brought closer together. And God is doing miraculous things even to this day through those families and to those families here in our own body. But then the next half of the trip was all males, and we went through. Let me tell you why we did it the way we did it. We figured the first half would be the easy part, and the second half would be the roughing it part. But guess what? The first half was the roughening part. So all these women were going, and I was more concerned if they would sleep in these places and sleep in the, all this stuff, and they had the rough side. And then us men... on the second half, had the easy side. We were in hotels, people's houses, you know, that type of stuff. And so, but the women, they tell me that they wouldn't trade it in for what they experienced, you know. And I was kind of glad that we thought that was the easy part, so that they thought it was easy, you know, that type of thing. But the bottom line is that it was just a blessing to bring this team and each and every one of them. You know, one of the things that by his word really doesn't realize is what has been put inside of you. And when you get away from this church and you get to use it somewhere else, man, you realize what is really on the inside of you. This is the, I don't know how many teams, I think the fourth or the fifth team that I've taken from this body. And each time the people that go with me, they realize, God, I didn't know this was on the inside of us. You know what I mean? But really, you're getting a lot by being a part of this body. And when you're away from this body and you're getting to use that, you're getting to use it. And God does not hold back in using what he has given you to be able to use. And the team can tell you as they get up here and they share some of them, how surprised they was how much God had put inside of them to give away to others. Now, we went to New Zealand. We impacted the nation. You know what I mean? And I don't say that to make it sound like we just impacted the nation. We traveled from the top part of New Zealand all the way down to the southern part and to the southern island. And God would put in front of us people that were very impacting in that nation, that will impact their government, that will impact their school system, that will impact their institutions, their banking, everything that you can imagine. There was thousands of people that we came in contact with that literally right now are going back because they either made a decision for Jesus Christ or they became stronger because of Jesus Christ to impact their nation. Is that good news or is that good news? Now, that is not something that Jesus says we're supposed to do. I want to read out of Matthew, the 28th chapter, And I want to read this to you. When they saw him, and they were talking about Jesus, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And New Zealand is considered the uttermost part of the world, if you don't know where it is. It's really down in the southern hemisphere, close to the Arctic, you know what I mean? And it's really, I mean, you have to want to go there. Do you understand what I'm talking about? It isn't on the way to anywhere. Either you're going there, unless you're going to the South Pole. You know, and how many people are going to go to the South Pole? Not too many people unless you're a penguin or something like that. But the bottom line is that it's one of those places that literally God is reaching out to. And now I want the team to stand up and all. We're not going to have the whole team speak this morning due to the fact that we also have this evening time. But go ahead, you guys, stand up. Okay, this is the team that with me to New Zealand. Okay. And we'll introduce as we go along. You guys go ahead and sit down. One of the advantages that we had is every time we did introduce these people, we could tell them of something they're doing in our church now. These weren't people that were just sitting in the pews. These were people that were actively involved in this body here that God chose out to go over there and literally impact that nation. And so the first two people I want to come up is Dale and Mike Golder. Come on up. Come on up. As you heard, Dale's celebrated. Do I have to do that with you too?
Come on out here.
Oh, you was all right.
You ain't getting in trouble.
What that was is because we went to the Maori people, which are the indigenous people of that country, the way that they would greet is literally by doing this. And what that was is that it was really sacred to them. You're breathing in life at the same time they're breathing in life. You're sharing air with them. And that was a way for them to literally connect with you to say, hey, we are of the same air or the same breath. Is that good news, you guys? So everywhere we went, when we met Maori people, that's how they would literally want to bring us in, is to literally do that, what they call what?
Hongi.
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 Yeah, I let Mike say it. Yeah. But these two went with us. As you heard, Dale celebrated her birthday over there, you guys. We had a great time in celebrating her birthday there. Mike, as a great husband, made sure he went out and got something for her. After we spent all day at a celebration in a park, which was huge. Remember that day? Yeah, Waitangi Day. Just to start it off so that you might know this, these two plus the other couples did 27 meetings in 13 days. Okay? You could say 28 or 29 if you count some of those that we just decided not to count. Okay? But they were running. As soon as they got off the plane, we had them in a meeting, and they didn't stop until they got back on the plane. Okay? So they were really moving. 27 meetings in 13 days, plus all the teas. You know what a tea is over in New Zealand? That's a dinner. Whenever they say they're going to have tea with you, you're going to eat, okay? And you're not going to eat a little bit. But I want to have Dale and Mike share their experience of what they experienced over there. You ready?
I'm ready.
Which one's going to go first? Okay.
That's because he won't get the mic back, so anyway. Well, praise the Lord. It was an awesome, awesome experience. And first of all, I want to thank the body here for getting behind us and sending us. We all took gifts over to give to the people there. And my gifts that I brought were bookmarks that Jeannie had made from our church. So they were really special that we could give those out. And we all prayed over them, anointed them with oil so that when we passed them out to everybody, we knew that blessing was going to be there even after we left, it was going to continue. So thank you to the body for helping us give those gifts away. Dean was right. We got off the plane running. I remember after we left our first church, Victory Church, we ended up in a little town called Orira. It was a beach town, and so it was like, oh, there's the water and everything. And we just stopped there to, like, exchange money. It was our first opportunity to get some New Zealand money. And we, like, scattered. You know, we were getting ice cream, and we were getting this and that. And then Dean found us. And it's like, guys, we have a five-hour drive to get to our next appointment. So from then on, we were trying to see who could be the quickest in the van after that, because we did not want the wrath of Dean on us for missing, for holding anybody's meetings up. So we realized that we were on a mission and not a vacation, even though we were able to see great sights and meet wonderful people. We were on a mission. I think one of my I had so many favorite things that happened. Our first city after leaving Auckland, or Oakland as they call it, was to go to Whangarei, and we were going to minister at the Elam Church. And Dean had said to just be ready for anything, and for Norma, I, Catherine, and Rusty, that was to sing. You know, so after someone spoke, there was always somebody that had to sing. I think their reason for that, the Marae people said, haughty words go up and then singing brings them back down. So after someone spoke, someone always had to sing a song. So we didn't have words or music. It all had to be here and here when Dean said to get up and sing a song. So that's what we did. And the Elam Church is where we saw probably our first miracle. So I'm going to let Mike talk. Otherwise, he might not get to get in here.
First of all, I want to thank, I'm trying to talk to you without crying, okay? First of all, I want to thank the Lord and Dean for asking us to go. Last time I went out with Victor Sissamore some time ago, but bossy already. But anyway, it was really an honor to go. I really thank God to be able to go, and so I can't tell you everything we did. I can't remember people's names. Mom can. I can't. I had a notebook to write things down. I wrote things down. I still haven't finished my last page from the last city. But it was just, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, you were just going from the time you got off the plane till the time you got back on the plane. And the thing that impressed me the most about these people was how hungry they were for the Lord. They were so hungry. But more than that, they demonstrated family. Everything was oriented about family. There was no I in family with those people. And they shared and gave everything they had to you. You know, and here, you know, it's like you portion out what you want somebody to have. But over there, they didn't portion out anything. Whatever they had, they gave to you. And they gave it to you with the love and affection of Christ. Amen. You know, and so, yeah, I'm on God's list to go back. All you got to do is say when and open up the checking account, and I'm going. But anyway, I wrote down one of the things that we had to do was bring some gifts and things. So one of the things I did was I have over 300, I collect hats. And so when I got to the point that I needed to get some hats together, I took out like 6 bags of hats, and I dumped them on the bed. And what I started doing was I started going through all the Christian hats I had, you know. And so I picked out, it's supposed to have been 13, and I took 14. But some of them I had no idea. I was fighting with the Lord about, I'd put them in this pile, then, you know, and I'd go through some more and throw them in that pile. Then I got all done, I'd go through that pile, and I'd sort. And finally, the Holy Ghost started saying, no, I want that hat. And I'm saying, it wasn't really him talking. So then I'd move on, you know, and, you know. And I'm trying to separate these hats, you know. Finally, you know, you just really feel, no, I want this hat. And you just knew that you knew he wanted that hat. So when I got there to Mike and to Hayward and to Pastor Ben. I had three particular hats. One said, say yes to the Lord. The other one was, come on, Lord. The other one was, please, Lord. The other one was, the other one was says, build my house, which was a picture of a church. And the other one says, God has been good to me. Okay? So when I got there, I had these hats, and I didn't know who to give them to. So you're waiting on the Holy Ghost to who give what hat. And so I gave Michael the hat that said, say yes to the Lord. And Dean can probably tell his story, because everything out of his mouth was, say yes to the Lord. That was Mike, okay? And I didn't even know that, but that's how he was. I mean, that dude was, if you was an ant, he was preaching to you before he stepped on you. I mean, you know, you had to get saved. You know what I'm saying? I'm just, you know, anyway, but... So I'm giving out these hats, and the hats went to the right people. I mean, Mike got his hat. Hayward got the hat, said, God has been good to me, and he loved. Then I gave the other hat to Pastor Ben. He's getting ready to build a church in his hometown. And I had no idea about these hats, and I gave out the other hats. But the point I'm trying to make to you is that God was in everything you did, even down to the point of giving up these hats. You know, which I didn't want to part with, but God said, give him a good gift. And he knows I love my hats, you know. So I gave him my hat. Amen. So the second thing I wanted to tell you real quick about, because I don't want to take a lot of time, was speaking into people's lives. You know, I did quite a bit of that in ministering in the church. You know, you really have to be led by the Holy Ghost. Amen. I mean, prayer lines were long. Okay, that's how hungry people were. It was just an honor to be able to listen to the Holy Spirit about, you know, people's needs. Sometimes a lot of the wives would come up with the kids, and the husband would be back in the back, you know, and then she'd talk to you, and he'd pray for her, and you'd look at him and say, you need to come on up here. And the time he came up, you prayed for him. I mean, some of them were crying when you left, because you just spoke what the Holy Ghost had in you. Amen. It was nothing over there about you. It was nothing there about I. It was all about the Lord. Amen. You know, to see him move. Amen. And then... one of the meetings we had with just some teachers and things, people, and I remember the teachers were gathered around the wall, and so we were doing a morning with the kids. And then Dean had asked them, the teacher said, you know, who was here, you know, the night before and received healing? Almost everyone of those teachers raised their hands. I mean, they had arms healed, fingers healed, hands healed, eyes. I mean, God did a job. I mean that with a J-O-B. You understand what I'm saying? You know, he was not playing, you know. Then this one little kid came up to me and Dale, and we were in school. And, I mean, he just hurt you when he came up to you. I mean, the kid just hurt you because he was so polite and just so, and he came up and he stood there and he said, I want to get delivered. Robert. So I don't remember her name. She does. Robert. And Robert said, I want to get healed for his asthma. And my mom said, okay. And they said, I also want you to pray for my mom. Okay, so I said, what's wrong with your mom? And he said, her back's been hurting real bad. All the time her back hurts, you know. So me and mom, you know, we laid hands and we prayed for Robert, you know, about his asthma. And then we came together in prayer again and we prayed for his back for his mom. So we told Robert, so, you know, we laid hands on him and said, when you go home, he said, you go home and you hug your mom. And you transfer that anointing to your mom. And her back will be healed in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we never heard back from Robert because we didn't go back to school. But I know in the name of Jesus, his mom was healed. Amen. God didn't send us over to play games. He was serious about his business. Amen. So so that was Robert. Okay, then we get to one of the churches that night. I don't know if it was the Elam Church or whatever it was, where Ben was ministering, but he was the pastoring of that church. But anyway, we got to that church, and that church was packed, okay? And I'm not going to sit here and what? Save Your Life Church. I'm going to say something to you, and I'm not going to be. I don't know how I say this. I'm looking. You know, natives are natives. Amen. Okay, natives. Okay. And so I'm looking in this church, and I'm not seeing a whole lot of natives. Okay. And so I'm saying to myself, I said, well, I thought we'd come to be the native, but almost every one of them people were mixed, and you couldn't tell. You know, I mean, God is who he is, who he is. You know what I mean? And the natives were kind of like, yeah, everybody was different, you know, like they are here. But, you know, when you got in the church, I'm saying, where are the natives? You know, because Tim and I had talked about that, you know. So anyway, we got to Dean deliver the message, and he had us all come up, and people came up to get healed. Well, this one guy, big guy, came up, and he had a spine was crooked, and he was going to have an operation on his hip because it was out of order. So, you know, Dean brought the guy over to us, and so, you know, I started praying for him. Then Lynn somehow came over. Was that you? Oh, y'all look alike. Okay, then Ken came over. So I'm just teasing. So anyway, Ken came over. No, I thought it was Lynn.
Ken.
Was it Ken? Okay, anyway, Ken came over, and so we started praying for this guy, and I'm telling you, the power of God come down from on high and hit this dude, this man. And this guy, he was a tall guy, and this dude, like, we was trying to catch him, but he was gone. Oh, he was gone. I mean, I think Ken tried to catch him a little bit. I'm simply trying to do what I could, but I couldn't, you know, and the guy hit that floor. I mean, you know, Ken caught him a little taste, you know. But anyway, this guy went down. So we kind of stepped back and looked and said, well, you could just, I mean, the anointing was heavy on me, so I know it had to be on him, amen, and Ken, you know. And, you know, so we went on praying. And the next thing you know, a little while later, the guy jumped up off the floor. He walked over to us. He said, I want to thank you. He said, I'm healed in the name of Jesus, my back, my hip. I don't have to have an operation. And he started running up and down in the front there, and then he went down, spoke to somebody else. I mean, you know, it was just awesome to see what God was doing in healing and restoration of people there, you know, that you had to be moved. If you knew anything about Jesus Christ, you had to be moved about what God was doing, because it was nothing about Mike Gold. There was nothing about Dale. It's all about him pouring into you his anointing for them to receive, that they could go out and touch somebody else in their village. Amen. You know, a lot of times we get self-centered when we see God doing something. They want to say, no, I want to do this. You have to surrender to the Holy Ghost when you go do something like that, you know, because he don't play that I game. See, it was we when Dad and Jesus and the Holy Ghost were operating before we even got here. It was all about we. It was them. It was nothing I did. And even with Mama praying, you know, sometimes I stood back and let her go because if I could just feel that she needed to go out more than me. You know what I'm saying? So I stood back and let Mama go out there, and I supported her. Amen. You know, you have to give that, you know, sometimes give up what you got, you know, so God, you know, can bring into you with anointing that he wants you to have for these people. Amen. And so I'm richly blessed by this. And one of the last things I wanted to tell you was Mike and Hayward's nephew. Then I'm going to shut up. But Mike and Hayward's nephew, that night when we got to the first church, and we were praying, you know, after the service. And then so we got off and he's praying, and I walked back to the back, you know, to get my stuff together. And then his mother, grandmother, and aunt, was it, came up to me, you know, and they said, can you pray for my son? And I said, he's a big, tall guy. And I said, yeah, no problem, you know. So I said, well, what do you want me to pray for him about? Amen. And so she said, well, he just needs prayer. She didn't tell me, you know. So this is where the Holy Ghost comes in. Amen. So I'm walking to this guy. This guy's a big guy. Amen. You know, stand up, Bill, for a little taste. This guy's big. He about Bill size. Yeah, he about Bill size. Stand up, man. So then, anyway, the guy was, you know, so I'm walking to pray for the guy, and he had this baseball hat on, right? So I'm holding hands with this guy, and I'm praying for this guy, you know, and everything's going good. I'm feeling a little taste anointing. You know what I'm saying? Not a whole lot, just a little taste. Amen. So then, you know, I stop, and I wanted to take his hat off. Don't ask me why. I'm just being led by the Spirit of God. So I wanted to take his hat off. Dude, that dude jumped, let go of my hands, jumped back, and was gone back over in the corner. You know, what? Yeah, don't touch me. Okay, you can sit down. So he said, so anyway, I let that go. And then Mom came up to me, and I said, well, I prayed for him and said, I believe he received. And I let it go at that. Unannoying. I never knew that he had, it's okay to, that he had some drug problem, okay, that really got into him, okay? But more than that, I found out was more than a drug problem. He'd opened the door up to some unwanted company. Amen? So then anyway, I prayed, did the best I could. And then I think Dean and Mike and Hayward went over and talked to the family. And I prayed for them before I left, you know, the three of them before I left. Well, that morning we get ready to load up, you know, and get wagon train out, you know. And they're there at the church. You know, the mom, all of them are all the church, you know, and he's there. So I'm saying, Dean said, okay, I want you guys to get out, get in here, and let's start praying. You know, okay, boss. So we get out and we walk into the building, you know, we circle up and we're all praying, right? You know, and there, and then what was his, Jesse, what was his nephew's name? What's the Jeffrey's name? Sam. So it's the kind of like Samson, but yeah, it was good. Anyway, so what happened was, so everybody's praying. And so while we're all gathering in a circle praying, he's like, you know, at the head of the circle. But we're all circled up like a wagon train. We're all, you know, keeping a circle. And so my eyes are closed. I'm praying. My eyes are closed, you know, and I'm waiting for the anointing to come down. I'm waiting for somebody to step on out and do a little something, something, you know. And so everybody's praying. Prayer's getting louder. Power's coming down. So I kind of peek out of my eye and see who's going up there. You know, I don't see nobody moving. I close the eyes, and I'm like, okay, let's pray some more. So I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, and I open up the other eye, and I still ain't seen nobody moving, you know. Okay, so we keep praying, you know, and I know we got to get out of here, you know. So we praying, and finally I feel like somebody pushed me in my back. I'm thinking maybe it might have been the boss over here saying, get your behind out there, you know. So anyway, you know, I kind of let go, and I walk out. But as I take a step out, I'm looking, and it wasn't him pushing me out, you know. It's a sugar smack. So I walk on out here to this dude, and I look at the guy, and And I'm looking at the guy, and so I'm starting to pray for this guy. And I'm praying, and I grab his, what? I'm praying, and I'm really trying to get in connected with this guy. You understand what I'm saying? And finally, man, I guess I could come out of that box, because Jesus, Dad, and Holy Ghost surely took my box and tore it up. You hear what I'm saying? Hey, you know, it wasn't no box no more. You know, you're going to get out here and do this. So I'm praying for this guy. And next thing I know, man, is I come up to him and I grab his hands, you know. And we start praying. I'm looking him in the face now, and we getting eye to eye, you know. And I said, "We fighting, baby. You know, I mean, we gonna do it. And he just looking at me like he must be crazy, you know." And so I'm praying, and I'm looking up at him, and finally something said to me, you know, tell him to say Jesus, you know. So then I said, "Okay." So I said, "Say Jesus." He looked at me like he could hardly get his mouth open, you know. Oh, Jesus, you know. I said, "No, say Jesus," you know. He looked at me, you know, and he could see that the eyes and things, you know. So, you know, he said Jesus a little bit, you know, and I'm thinking, okay, that's good, that's cool. You know, Jesus, he's delivered. I step back, you know, and the boss walks up and says, get back out there. He got a whole bunch more in there. I said, oh, my God. So, he said, you ain't finished yet. And I said, no. Yeah, he said Jesus, you know. I said, get up in there. So I got back up in there again, and I got serious with this guy. I mean, I grabbed his hands and then put my hands on his mouth. I said, you say Jesus, you know. And he said, Jesus. I said, no, I said, say Jesus. I said, no, say Jesus. I was yelling at the dude, and I was yelling. Finally, he yelled back, Jesus. The minute he yelled back, Jesus, he got free. He got free. The good part about that was a couple of days later, I guess the mom took him to the doctor to make sure everything was AAA. You understand what I'm saying? And so she called and let Hayward and Denham know that not only was he okay when the doctors checked him out, but he was driving Grandma's car. Grandma don't give her car to nobody. You understand what I'm saying? Grandma keeping her ride, okay? But she gave a car to the brother, man. The brother was driving her around. I mean, everything was, God did his J-O-B. Amen? Praise God.
I just want to say that's the way it was the whole trip, that the Lord was, he was just working through us and touching lives, and we were getting ministered to at the same time. I think that was the important thing, is that our, the one that, the disabled. No, we prayed for, I just want to say that before we left, I just felt in my heart that I was going to be able to minister to a mother or somebody with a disabled child. And we ended up at a school one day, and Dean was talking to a lady, and then all of a sudden he called me over and he said, here. And he was doing that a lot. He'd set us up with who he thought we needed to minister to. And he said, here, Dale, come over and talk with this lady. She happened to have a disabled daughter, about 13 years old. And she hadn't brought her to church because she was just fearful, because everybody's always trying to lay hands and do things to somebody who's disabled. So she hadn't brought her to church. And I was able to talk with her and minister to her. And the next time we were going to be at doing a service, she brought her daughter in so that we could pray for her. It was an answer to prayer. My prayer that the Lord had met, and her prayer that somebody would come to that church for her and her daughter. And that's the kind of trip it was for us. It was awesome. There's so much more we could say, but we'll give it up.
I just want to say one more thing, and I'm going to take off. I really wanted to thank my wife and Norma and them girls Prune while they was there. And Rusty on the guitar, you know. I mean, they sung. I mean, we had to get sung into the Mariah. We had to get sung in. We had to get sung out. And I'm telling you, you had to be ready in season, out of season, because when Dean pointed to you and told you to get up, I said, what did I say? Just get up there. You know what I mean? And you had to be ready. But more than anything, I was so touched by my wife and Norma and him singing. You have no idea what singing does to the heart. And these ladies got out there and sang on a moment's notice when Dean pointed at them and looked at them. And they came up with the tunes that were just right. Amen. That's how God operated in these ladies singing. And Rusty and his guitar tore it up too, man. I'm telling you. And Catherine, you know, praise be to God. And we had a, I'm looking forward to going back either with or without him. He can choose. I don't care, but I'm going back.
I want to say that on my birthday, it was Watangi Day there. That's a big celebration for when the Maori people got their independence from the English. And Norma and I got to sing before Dean spoke. And this is it's a big thing in New Zealand. And for Dean to be able to be there to speak into people's lives, and he thought that in order to draw people in, that we should sing a song at the beginning before he spoke. And Norma and I got up and sang Amazing Grace. And you could see the people coming toward the tent to hear Dean speak after that. And after that, it was like a week after that, we were in a city called Whangarei, and we were just doing some window shopping, and people were coming up to us telling us that they had seen us at Watangi Day singing and Dean speaking. So Dean's message was going all over New Zealand before us and after us. People were looking for Dean and coming through their town. So it was an awesome trip.
It was an awesome trip. You know, Mike and Dale were just a blessing, just being, you know, a couple coming and ministering. And as you can see, they touched a lot of lives. There's a lot more things that took place through what they did. You know, I do have others, Ken and Norma. Can you guys come on up? You know, this couple here. Lindsay had told me, she said, get my dad out of his box. Ain't that what you said? So I had him literally introduce, come on up here. I had him introduce each and every time we were somewhere. The first time he kind of like, you know. But by the end he was saying, this is my wife here and this is so and so. He was gone at it, man. And then she just, she led someone to get baptized in the Holy Spirit, to speaking in tongues. And that's the one day that this guy, Mike, wanted us to be at his house because he didn't want us praying for him later on, because his wife wanted us there to have tea with them or dinner with them. And she was amazed that this person was speaking in tongues. And Mike was saying, come on, that's good enough. Come on, let's go. Yeah, it was really good. So I'm gonna let these two speak. They had a fantastic time there.
Oh, I get to go first. Okay. Well, as Dean was saying,
your box.
I definitely was out of my box. Here I go stumbling already. my box was exploded, just like Mike was saying. It was amazing. God move through us in ways that we never would have imagined. I've always been a quiet and shy person my whole life, and having God move through me and strengthen me, and this hat became a strength for me because of what it says, and it kept reminding me that I needed to be strong. And that's what this means, ki kaha. It means be strong. And also be energetic, which was definitely something we needed to do while we were there. Because we were constantly on the move. Being used by God, it zaps the energy out of you in the physical. But he gives you the ability to endure and to continue on. And we just, that's what we did every day. The only way we could have made it was with God. Because we were just moving constantly. And I just continue to see God move in so many ways. My wife will tell you later, but she, I saw her minister in ways that I've never seen her minister before. She ministered in song to people. She ministered in just word would pour out of her, and it would touch people. One of the things that I wanted to talk about, Mike already kind of stole the show there on that, but that's okay. At our Savior Church there, the man that was healed, that was amazing. That was one of the biggest things that I remember during the time there, that in God moving. And then Norma and I working as a couple. I mean, God worked in us through as couples, even with man, like with Mike and myself. And then Norma and I, many, many times, we would be praying for people, and the Lord would give me an unction to say something or to do something, and then we would work together, and we would be following through on whatever God asked us to do. There was one time in particular that I remember. There was a Maori lady that was having major back problems, and we were praying for her, and it seemed like she wasn't really receiving it. And then all of a sudden the Lord said, tell Norma and you too to put your hand on her back. And we started in the middle of her back, and I said, Norma, you need to go lower. And that's what the Lord was telling me. So she slid her hand down, and as she was sliding her hand down, Norma didn't feel it, but I could sense that her back was just popping, and all the vertebrae were lining up. And when she was done, she was crying, and she was saying that she felt so much peace and the relief of all that pain that she had in her back for so many years. It was just amazing. We just serve a miracle-working God, and He's amazing. There isn't anything He won't do for you. When we were asked to go, you know, one of the first things that popped in my head was, why would God want me to go? Why would God want my wife and I to go? And we found out, well, the Lord told me, but I didn't really think that much about it, because to us, it's not that big a deal. But while we were there, we found out that we blessed a lot of people, because, as you can see, my wife is black and I'm white. And that was a big thing, because you don't see white men marrying Maori women there. And that the fact that I have a strong relationship with my wife, and I made sure that, and I don't think it was me, I think it was actually the Lord, made sure every time I introduced that I would point out, this is my wife. And sometimes I would say that we'd been married for 30 years, and sometimes I would say that, you know, I wouldn't. But it just blessed the hearts of the people there, from what we were told, that, you know, it is possible for people of other races to be together and to function and have a good relationship with the Lord and with other people. So that's something that the Lord has wanted me to share for a long, long time. And I guess it took this trip to New Zealand for me to say that. And it was, my wife and I have been married for over 30 years now. And when we got together, we knew we had an instant connection. And it never crossed my mind to think about Norma as a different race. I thought of her as a beautiful woman, somebody that I knew that I wanted to be with. That she is an awesome woman of God, and that's what I knew I wanted for my life, because I didn't really know the Lord. And through her and her encouragement, we started going to church together, and we grew together, and we're still growing together in the Lord. And the other day, people asked us, you know, how is it that you have been married for 30 years? And we both said, almost simultaneously, the Lord. Because it's true. Without the Lord, there is too many natural forces, I guess would be the best way to word it, that would have interfered with our relationship and caused us not to be together. And I just there's no way that from our families to that, and well, speaking of families, and Mike said how important family is to the Maori people. Well, I came to realize that even though I think I'm a family person, I ended up having to repent while I was there because I've been so focused on my immediate family that I haven't really been reaching out to my extended family. And it's important that we all need to reach out to our extended family all the time. And if we're not reaching out to our family, then we're leaving them out there to be attacked. And we have to be thinking about our families all the time. And it goes beyond just our immediate family and our extended family. It goes around our church family. It's family everywhere. We all need to be reaching out to each other and helping each other and supporting each other. Thank you. Well, I'll hand it over to Norm now.
Praise God. Some of you guys might know that I always refer to my husband as my boyfriend, and sometimes I gotta remember that. But when we were there, like Ken said, we don't think about that. You know, we don't think about that. And I used to tell people, you know, Jesus kept us together. We're so opposite. Color has nothing to do with it. It's who you are as an individual and allowing God to work in you. So when Dean told us, and when some of the people come and told us, you know, the impact we had, we were so clueless. We never saw that because that never been that in our brains. We are who God made us, and we saw each other as individuals, not as a color. So some of you probably wonder about me in the airplane. Well, probably about 2 weeks before I left, I start visioning myself panicking on this plane, freaking out, just all this stuff. But you know, we have such an awesome God, and the word we get here is so right on that I just fell back on what I was taught, what I learned, and I fasted. I fasted for about 2-3 days, and my brain was still going. I said, but it doesn't matter. I have the authority and the power within me to do this. So when I got on the plane, I had no problem. But there was some turbulence. And I had told you guys before we left that Lord had talked to me about this turbulence. I kept rebuking us about it. And he just basically, it was like a serious reprimand. It doesn't matter what that plane's doing. I will never leave you or forsake you. That's what he told me and told me and told me. So when I got on this plane, and this plane was like doing some serious bumping, I start commanding the angels, go out, clear the way, blah, blah, blah. After doing this 3 times, I quit. Little did I know, a week later, my sister, Roberta, during that time, was in the bathroom praising God for the bumps. She was thanking Jesus for that turbulence. So, like, whatever. At the third time, I just said, whatever. It is what it is. It's like Dean said that Jesus took the sting out of death. And I said, you know what? Something happened. Boom, I'm in glory. So, whatever. That's what I said. Whatever. But I went there and I came back. Like Dale was saying, that we sang and sang and sang. And oh, my God, that was so out of my box. Even though I sing up here, to be called upon to go do something and try to think of what song I'm going to sing, it's huge. But I did do it. And I just remember, in particular, I don't know where it came from, but I just started singing over people. The one song that we learned, we haven't sung in a while, is that the same power that conquered the grave lives in me. And that's what I was singing to these people. The same love that came and rescued me lives in me. But I was singing to these people for them personally. I was making it personal. And then the one church Dale and I were singing, she was talking about Victory Center Church. They were saying that some of the Maori people were telling us that they don't normally come to the service because the worship is boring. Well, they came this night, and I tell you, when Dell and I were singing, we had a concert pianist playing for us. It was just like the wave of anointing just kept going and going. And they were telling us, some of the Mars were telling, they were crying. You know, God did awesome things. I did stuff. The Lord, I mean, even my brain was telling me, you know, you can't do this. This whole thing, you're so dumb, you're not this, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? I knew that was my carnal mind. I had to shut it down. And I said, I know what God can do. And I just spoke the word. Even though I never felt nothing, it didn't matter what I felt. I knew that when I spoke the word, He was going to watch over it to perform it. And that's all I needed to do. That's all I needed to do. And when I did, you could see on the people that they were being ministered. It had nothing to do with me. It had to do with me being willing just to step out and say it. And He will take care of the rest.
Whoa, that's good. You know, we have a few minutes, and I do want to try to get one more couple in before tonight. And that's Roberta and Lynn. I don't know about that. Oh, those guys can preach. Those two can preach now. Oh, boy. Come on up here, you two. They are such a blessing. I don't want to say anything because I don't want to take any of your time. I like that shirt. No.
Well, praise the Lord. My wife told me to speak first, so I guess I better speak first. Like they said, it was just so much, and it was just so amazing and overwhelming. One, that God would use you to meet other people's needs. And the release that you saw in people's lives, you would actually, the Lord just gave me, I say, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? And He says, just use my name. I didn't feel anything, you know, but I could see the power, the expression in their faces, their hearts and everything that they were receiving. Later on, my wife would say, did you feel the floor moving? I'd say, no, what do you mean? The floor is moving. She says, the floor, when you lay hands on people or when I touch people, the floor in the church would be going, or the building would be going up and down. And I'm going, Lord, is there something wrong with me? He says, just use my name. So I was using His name. My wife was feeling. But what also the Lord said was, He's binding us into one rope. The team. He put us into one place. He bound us all together. And every one of us was there for a purpose. Just like this body. Every member is here for a purpose. He put you in that body as a hand or a foot, but it pleased Him as He willed. So I need you, and I need the team members. And I was so honored to work with this team. I just kept on. It was just overwhelming to me that I was involved with this team. It was so honored. I just felt so blessed. So the Lord told me to bring up. There was an 84-year-old woman that came up. And He told me how to start and how to stop. But this 84-year-old woman came up, and I said, well, what do you need prayer for? And she couldn't hear either. So this elder lady, she was probably in her 50s, came up to me and says, well, she can't hear, but she came up for her neck. She has pain. So my wife and I, we laid hands on her, and all of a sudden you could tell, just from her expression, her neck, it was neck and her pain, the freedom that she felt. And I don't know how long she was dealing with this neck pain. But then she started smiling, and then all of a sudden I was telling her, well, is all the pain gone? Because what really struck me was when Dean would preach, he was healed of 29 different things, if you count. He always says, if you count death, 30. No residue. So I always said, no residue. Is all the pain gone? And all of a sudden she says to me, because I told her, I said to the one lady beside her, I said, well, God will heal her of her hearing too. All of a sudden this 84-year-old woman says, I can hear you. I can hear you speak. And then she started giggling. She had this cute giggle. And I would start giggling, because she would start giggling. And every time she'd look at me, she'd sit down in the front row, and she'd start looking at me, and I'd look over at her, and she'd start giggling. And I'd start giggling, you know. Well, so Because yeah, it's just, you could just see the peace and the joy from people being released from bondage. And that was such a blessing. I don't know how you call it. Dean calls it a splash. I call it an overflow. But just being there to be the vessel to be used by God and the anointing to flow through you. And it just was amazing to me in that name. In that name. In that name. You know. There was a lady that came up with a foot problem. She tore her foot up. She was probably in her 50s. She had a broken bone and a chip. That's what she was telling me. And so before I would pray, I would stop and listen to the Holy Spirit and then also pray in tongues a little bit. And then I laid hands on her and prayed for her foot. And I said, is the pain gone? She says, this pain's gone. I said, well, then start moving and walking on it. So she started moving, and she had crutches. Well, she got her healing. And I knew she was healed because she walked on the foot. They had the crutches that clamp on your arm. So you were flopping and dragging. And I whispered, I kind of spoke, and I said, just get rid of your crutches. You're healed. So she went and hugged somebody. Where her husband or an elder man came up to me and goes, what is that language you're speaking? And I said, language? He says, yeah, that language is so beautiful. And I said, well, it's my heavenly language. It's speaking in tongues. It's my direct link to God. To bypass everything in my life, in my mind, and I can speak to God directly. And I says, well, do you want it? And he said, yes. Now, he's probably, I'm guessing in his 50s and 60s. He said, yes. So I said, well, here it comes. So we laid hands on him, and I said, be filled, you know. And all of a sudden, he started speaking in tongues. So the whole family was blessed there. The third thing was a girl in lockjaw. I thought we were done praying, and I don't remember. That was a church that was held in the school. And I thought I was done praying, so I was walking down the center aisle, and I got about halfway down. And this big guy, and I knew he was in Taekwondo because we met him at the Marai a couple of nights before. And if you don't know what a Marai is, it's like an Indian longhouse, and it's a community center. And you have to take your shoes off because it's sacred to them. And so we got a privilege to sleep in three of them. I think it was three. And basically, they have 6-inch foams, and you'll sleep in them, and you lay in it. But I mean, in this one Marai, there's probably 75 or 100 people all sleeping in this big longhouse, Indian longhouse. So I knew he was a black belt in Taekwondo, and it's pretty intimidating. He's like 4 inches taller and big and bulky, and he comes up. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord. You know, I was in my mind thinking, is this guy here friend or foe? But he had two little girls with him, right? And I didn't know he had a ministry until after the service. And he started talking. He says, my daughter wants to be prayed for, and she had some kind of lockjaw infection. And she was about 10 or 11 or 12 years old, somewhere around in there. And I says, well, praise the Lord. God will heal her of that. And laid hands on her, and all of a sudden, she got this big grin, and these pearly white teeth showed forth because she was grimacing. She had her hands on her jaw. And, you know, I didn't find out until later, my wife, and it was really all about families, because the wife was the praise and worship leader, and the husband was doing a youth ministry and something and also working. But my wife came up to me later and goes, she was ministering to the husband's wife at the same time. And Roberta goes, well, do you know what the little girl said? She went and saw the doctor, and I don't know if it was that day or the day before. Was that the day? Yeah, it sounded like it was that day. The doctor gave her two options. And so while they were driving from the doctor's office, the little girl goes,
The mom said to her, well, what option are you going to go with? Anyhow, and so the little girl said to her mom, I'm going to Dean Braxton's meeting and getting healed.
So what that really told me was childlike faith. And don't remember, you know, we have options, but she picked the best option. God the Father. You know. The fourth thing, Penny's niece. Now, Penny is married to Mike Norman, so it'll be Penny Norman. And something that unusually also happened to me, when I would stand in front of the church, and usually in the beginning, before I started praying, I'd be looking out, And once in a while, the Lord would say, you're going to be praying for that guy or praying for that woman. And I wouldn't think nothing about it, right? So all of a sudden, three or four people would come through and pray, and all of a sudden this face would come up to me. And usually what I would say to that individual, and one of them was an ex-gangbanger, gangster or whatever, and he came up to be, he wanted to be a better father, and he needed a job, and he needed his carpal healing. So we prayed for three things for him. I said, you know, this is a divine appointment. I said, because I completely forgot about his face, you know, because you prayed for three or four people, and when you get into that, you get into the anointing, and like you said, it is draining, but God always gave you the energy to keep going. It was, I call it a tornado, and the Toyota was called the bus for me. Let's hurry up to the bus. And they go, where are we going? I don't know, because I can't pronounce any of these names. I can't tell you where I've been. I can't tell you where I'm going. But it's true. It was like a tornado. And but what was so amazing was when you did move, get back to my train of thought, the lady at this last service, I was standing there, and the Lord said, you're going to be praying for her. And what it was, her father died, and her father's name was Rocky. And so I was looking out. It was the last service we were having. The next day we were flying out. I think it was 10 o'clock at night, something like that. And she came up. All of a sudden, you know, I prayed for four or five people already, and she came up, and this face just was there. And I said, looked at her, and I said, this is a divine connection. The Lord said, I'd be praying for you. She wanted salvation. And so at that time, prior to that, we wanted people pray with the local body, to always attach them to the local body. But I couldn't find anybody. I spent 30 seconds saying, okay. You know. So I said, she's ready. Let's bring her into the Lord. So she became bored again right then there. And then finally, all these people came up, you know, from the church, or actually Mike Norman came up and says, I want her to get connected, and she needs scripture. We let her, she was ready. So we led her to salvation right then and there, well, about a minute later. But I covered everything from healing to the infilling of the Spirit and salvation. I don't know how many people were born again. I can't give you the numbers. I've heard some numbers. But the other thing the Lord stressed to me, if it was only for one soul, it was worth it all. But I'm talking about, we've touched, with the Holy Spirit, we touched thousands of souls. And what the Lord kept on telling me too also was, it's ongoing. It's ongoing. Like Dean said, there's people touched in all facets of life. It's ongoing, whether it's education, judicial, whatever it is, it's ongoing, because that fruit is forbearing. Did you want to speak? Okay. But I want to leave this is one thing. The Lord gave me Philippians 4:19 over a year ago. And that's for you, the body. For the people that prayed for this, the people that gave to this, Philippians 4:19 is for you. The fruit that abounds to your account. Whether you prayed for us, whether you gave financially, there's fruit that is abounding to your account. Philippians 4:19. I didn't go there as Lynn Whitesell. I didn't go there. I came from, by His word, I came from family members. I represented it. I might have been the hand or the foot there or the mouthpiece there, but there's fruit abounding to your account. Philippians 4:19.
And you know that's true for all of us, because by His word was big in our hearts the whole time we were there. You know, we felt your prayers. And we were just so honored to that you guys sent us out. And we felt like we brought you with us, you know. And so I'm just real excited that we got this opportunity. First, I'd like to add to Norma's. When I was in the bathroom, it was because I was riding the ride. Because it's a 12-hour flight. And it gets boring in your seat. And I learned the first time the best seat is in the bathroom. I was standing up. You know, because I know, the turbulence was pretty awesome. So I get bored sitting in that seat for hours, and so I go in the back, and I just stand in the bathroom. And poor Norma was sitting in the seat right in front of the bathroom. We should have traded seats. But so I was going back there just to enjoy the ride. But it was such an honor to be there, and I just want to share a few things that I got to be blessed by being a part of. Probably the second church we went into, there was a young family with a gentleman. He had Downs, and the Lord just drew me to him to go pray for him. I don't know what the Lord wanted to do in him, but the Lord wanted to do something in this man's life. And I felt, you know, we all felt like there were certain ones that we were there for especially. And I just felt like that was one of my reasons for being there. And I had this awesome opportunity to pray for this gentleman and the two ladies that were with him. And I mean, I just know that God's anointing just was on him and in him. And he loved Jesus. And that was an incredible experience. But this one, I'm going to tell you, I was hot. It was hot. So when the prayer line went down, I went outside, and here's this little tiny boy crouched outside the door, and he was mad. I mean, it was just coming out. He was mad. He wasn't saying anything. But so I just crouched down beside him, and I just started talking to him and about the plans God had for him and what a great little kid he was. Well, the mother came up and did what I would have done if someone was outside with my kid in the dark. She said, "Hello, can I help you?" And I said, "Oh," I said, "I was just hot and I came out here and I saw your little guy out here. And I was just telling him that he was special and God had a plan for him." And so then he got up and kind of walked away. And so the mother and I kind of started talking. She had like four or five little blessings. And she had this one, must have been one, in her arms. And boy, this kid was having a fit. And so we just kind of talked. And then I just felt that I just laid hands on this little girl. And I just thanked the Lord for her and prayed for her. And next you know, she was laughing. This little girl just laughing and smiling. And she wanting kisses and everything. And I just got such a tickle out of that. I was like, "God, you are so good." And so then they left. Well, then she comes back, and she's got four or five little ones. But she left, and she came back. And she said to me, "I just want to tell you that you need to keep doing that." I was like, "What I do?" I thought, "Prayer." And she said, "You need to keep speaking life into people's lives." And I just realized that the Holy Spirit, you know, was able to just move in her and her children. And I was like, "Thank you, Jesus." Because the Lord has given me a heart for mothers and children. And I don't believe that people need to hear what they're doing wrong. I think we need to focus on what they're doing right and encourage them in that. And that opens the door for growth. So, anyhow, another thing that was kind of cool is Lynn, he'd look out in the crowd, and seriously, the Lord would say, "You can pray for that one, you can pray for that one, that one." Well, I didn't have that, but what I had was I was just drawn, sucked into the crowd. Once the prayer line went down, I was sucked into the crowd, and the Lord would say, "Go pray for this one, go pray for that one." And with the people, connection is very important. And with God, everyone is important. Whether you get up in the prayer line or not, He wants to touch your life. And I believe that's why I was sucked out into the crowd. But each time there was a gentleman in the crowd and the Lord, and all his family came up for prayer, but he didn't. And the Lord said, go pray for him. So I went up and I kind of talked to him and I was like, you need prayer? Or is there anything I can pray? He's like, nope, I'm fine. And I said, oh, okay. I said, there's nothing I can pray for you about. He said, well, no. He said, I have some back problems, but, you know, there's nothing, you know, for you to pray for. And I said, wow. I said, let me tell you about my back problems. And so then I told him I was in a terrible car accident, you know, and that I'd blown a couple discs. And the doctor told me, you know, well, maybe in a couple of years we can do surgery. But God healed me. Praise the Lord. And he said to me, I was in a car accident. He'd blown practically the same discs. But we'd made that connection. And so the faith was there. And so I was able to pray, and the Holy Spirit just moved. And for the rest of that evening, he kept coming up to me saying, we have a connection. You know, God meant for you to pray for me. You know, I'm healed. And it was so exciting. There was another lady out in the crowd, and I'm a teacher's aide. And I said, can I pray for you? And she's like, oh, I'm good. And I said, yeah, I'm good too, you know. And so, yeah. So then we just start talking, and then she's like, well, you know, I'm believing God for a job. And so I said, you are? And she said, yeah. And I said, well, that's something we can pray for. And I said, well, what do you do? And they have a different word for it, you know. But basically, she's teacher's aide. I said, teacher's aide? I'm a teacher's aide. And so then there was another connection. And I said, well, what are you doing right now? She said, well, I'm working in home taking care of some disabled people. And I said, I used to do that. It was called COPES. She knew right away what it was. And so then I got to just pray with her. And I believe in Jesus' name she's got that job. But so it was just real big, you know, that every single person there was there, you know, with such a desire for Jesus. You know, they just wanted more of God. And there was a youth pastor that came up. John? No, not. It wasn't John. It was a different one. There was a youth pastor that came up for prayer. And at first he just wanted more of God. But then, I'm going to say he wanted more of God in the beginning. And so we prayed for him to get more of God. Well, the thing is, the Holy Spirit doesn't let you go if there's more work he wants to do, which was several times. So Lynn's praying for him, and I'm laying hands on Lynn, and then the Holy Spirit's like, go behind him and lay hands on his back. And I'm like, all right. Well, it was the acid reflux. And so I'm like, all right, maybe your back is connected somehow. So I just kind of laid hands. Well, next you know, I'm like pressing my hands into his back. And so I'm just in the spirit now, you know. And then we finished praying, and he said, wow, that's funny. You went around to my back, because I broke my back several years ago in a surfing accident. And he believes he's healed. In Jesus' name, we do too. And he said, and as a matter of fact, then he's got bone spurs in his foot. So Lynn was able to pray for his foot. But the Holy Spirit just was leading us all continuously. You know, there was so much he wanted to do, and we were so blessed to be used by him, you know, to do these things. Kids getting filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, during their lunchtime. And lunchtime is important to me and to those kids. And they stayed and let us pray. And it was just really incredible to be used like that. And I think that's pretty much all I can remember.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. And Dean had to keep getting me.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. As you can see, we're a little bit over time, and I just want to remind you, if you want to hear some of the other stories, the team is going to be back tonight. I would encourage you, some of you, you'd probably just come on Sunday mornings, but try to make it back this evening. You know, you've got Rusty and Catherine, and they've had some things that were miraculously happen. You have Rick and Nancy. Nancy, Nancy's not a cook, you know. She is a person that lets Rick cook most of the time. But when she was in New Zealand, she was in the kitchen all the time. And we told Rick, you need to get a sign that says, you're entering New Zealand on the top of his house. So that. But they have a story. Didn't you have, Brent, and you have Chuck, and you have Aaron. And they went down to the South End. But I would encourage you to come back tonight and listen to the rest of the stories. Because God, as you can just see, the three couples that shared, there was miraculous things. They're not even being able to share all of it. You know what I mean? Because God was doing miracle after miracle. When they get done with one, they didn't have enough time to enjoy that one because God was doing another one. And when that one was done, they had another one was done. And there was just so many. We estimated between 3,000 to 4,000 people came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Okay, throughout New Zealand. But we've heard stories that people that did come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they went home and led their families to the Lord. It's just spreading like anything. We don't know where it's going to end because of just how it just took off. If you want to say it's a revival, you could call it a revival. You know, all we were doing, as I kept on telling people, we didn't come here to start anything new. We just came to be a part of something that was already going on. See, we believe God was already moving there. We just wanted to be a part of it. We do know this, 100,000 people, and we can get the names of them, were praying for us. 100,000 people around the world, because those people there knew this was going to be big, so they made sure that they were in contact with people that could get people to pray, and they said 100,000 people throughout the world, by name, were praying for this mission trip. So the results are, off the chart. They're off the chart. You know what I mean? And we'll be hearing probably more and more things that are taking place there in New Zealand just because of, being a part of this body. You guys sending us, you sent us. You know what I mean? You know, I always say this to people. When you get to heaven, you're going to have a group of people that come to meet you in. I always say family. I always say your friends. But there's another group that comes to meet you in. And that group is those that you impacted somehow that they came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So don't be surprised how many New Zealand people come up and greet you when you enter into that heavenly realm, you guys. Because you did something that literally has impacted families over there in a miraculous way. The families were coming to know Jesus Christ. Not just individual. Families were coming to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, we can keep on going on, but Pastor John said that we can do this evening. First of all, there may be someone here, you haven't made Jesus Christ Lord and Savior of your life. You have not made that commitment to him, or you did make it, but you haven't really walked where he wanted you to walk. You know, today is the day to make that decision, okay? There were so many people there that literally came to the realization. And I would say it like this, you're going to leave your body someday. Everybody on this planet is going to leave their body someday. Where are you going to go? That's the bottom line. And because I was born again, because I knew Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, because I have the Holy Spirit residing on the inside of me, I went where Jesus Christ says Christians go. And you that don't know the story, my heart stopped for about an hour and 45 minutes, and I died, according to the medical records and the doctors, and I went where Christians go. All right? So everybody on this planet, sooner or later, is going to have to leave your body. Where are you going to go? And some people say, well, that's your religion. It's not my religion. Jesus said he is the only way. That isn't a belief system. That's the way it is. And everybody on this planet sooner or later is going to find out. The Bible says this, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. One of the saddest things for me is that someone would be there, doesn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and literally would be there saying, you're Lord and Savior, and can't stay. It's better that you say it here than when you get there because it's too late. Did you hear what I just said? So you may be in this audience right now, and we took a little time. But that time that we took is really for you to have this moment to make that decision. Or you may have made a decision before, but you're not walking like Christ wants you to walk. You know what I'm talking about. You're playing the game. You know, these guys, because of the commitment they had made for Christ, Christ used them in a way to go to another nation and make an impact on that nation. Okay, can he do that with you? Can he choose you? Because the harvest truly is plenty. That ain't the issue. It ain't that there isn't enough work out there for us to do, you guys, that want to know Jesus, that want to be out in the ministry or something like that. There's more than enough work. But can he use you to go out and do it? That's the question. Okay? So what I'm going to ask here is that bow your heads. Just bow your heads, everyone here. And you may be out there right now and you heard some of these testimonies, okay? If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior before in your life, and you want to do it right now, just raise your hand. Just raise your hands if you're here. Okay? I know we're in America, and sometimes we think, oh, we better not do it here. But let's say it this way. If you have made him Lord of your life before, but you're not walking like he wants you to walk, raise your hands right now. Just raise your hands. People out there, just raise your hands. You know you need to be stronger, okay? If you have raised your hands, I want you to stand right now. Just stand. Whoever you raised your hands, a few of you stand. Just stand right now. You raised your hands, stand right now. Don't hesitate. If you move those knees up, you can do it. And the rest of you, please keep your eyes closed. Please keep your eyes closed, okay? All right, I know there's a couple of hands that went up and people aren't standing, but if you want to later on come up and talk to someone, you can. If you're standing, come out in the aisle. Just move out in the aisle right now. Just move out in the aisle. I'm going to ask my team to come on up here because we're going to pray for some people. Move out now. Just stand there. Wait. Just wait right there. Just stay where you're at. Stay where you're at. Well, since you're up here, come on up. Come on up. Come on. Come on. Come on. Now, I want you guys to do what you usually do. Stand in front of somebody, okay, and make sure that everyone's covered. Make sure that everyone's covered, okay? You couples stand in front of someone together. Make sure you're in front of people together. Rick, you and Nancy, right here. Chuck, stand right here. Catherine, and you and Rusty. Lynn, you. Aaron. Right here. I know. Now, you guys that are out there and your eyes are closed, just open your eyes. Okay? These people up here, every one of them said, I'm walking with Christ. I've made a decision before, but I want to make a stronger decision. Let's give them a hand clap. Let's encourage them. You know what I mean? Now, what we're going to do right here, and I'm going to ask Pastor John to come on up. What we're going to do right here is Pastor John is going to lead you in a prayer. Don't we have personal workers too? People that stand? Don't we have you guys out there that have been trained to because these are the people you want to take over here into the room over here. So if you've been trained, please come up here. I know you're on this side. Stay on this side. We need you to be behind each person here, you guys. Come on up. Just be behind. Because I want to make sure after we pray for them, they turn around and they see a face behind them, too. This is good news. This is good news, you guys. Am I the only one excited about this right now? This is exciting that's taking place right here. Okay, do we have everybody have somebody? Steffi, you're behind. We need a lady here. Do we have any ladies out there that is a personal worker? You might have to take two. Okay, will it? You can handle two. You could probably handle three or four, really.
Hallelujah. Father, we just want to bring back to memory that song we were all singing earlier, I Surrender All. And Father, these precious people have come up because they want to get closer to you. They want to be more like you. They want to surrender it all to you, Lord. And Father, so I pray your blessing and anointing on them, upon the ones that are praying for them, with them, and sharing with them, Lord. Your anointing just continue to move and give them the right words and help them not leave this building without understanding exactly what they're doing and why they're doing it and how to do it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're trusting your Holy Spirit now to take over in each individual
as they need it right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord.